welcome to If Cage Walls Could Talk, your weekly heart-to-heart on all things animals. My name is Jody Whitaker, and I am the founder and executive director of the Chicago Alliance for Animals, the Partnership to Ban Horse Carriages Worldwide, and the Center for Ethical Science. This show was created and brought to you by my all grassroots volunteer organizations working to liberate animals from suffering and pain. Welcome. And Just want to give everybody a little update on some of the campaigns that the Chicago Alliance for Animals and the Partnership are running. If you've listened to the show, you're probably a little aware of our Lincolnwood campaign to free spur the African tortoise to sanctuary. She has been stuck in a approximately 3x5 display case for more than 30 years, where she has no enrichment, no companionship. We've never once seen water in her prison. She really doesn't belong there because Lincolnwood has a law on the books that prohibits the keeping of wild animals. So we will keep fighting for spur until she gets to sanctuary in Arizona and until wild animals and rabbits are no longer sold illegally, which they are being done right now because the Lincolnwood trustees and mayor refuse to enforce their own laws. Excuse me. If you would like to know more about this or get involved and help us, please reach out to me at ChicagoAllianceForAnimals@gmail.com or through our website, ChicagoAllianceForAnimals.org. We have some exciting news. The Dallas, Texas, Savannah, Georgia, and San Antonio, Texas campaigns to ban horse carriages have had multiple media hits in the last couple of weeks. It's huge news, and we are working hard with my partners in Dallas and Savannah, and I have contacts in San Antonio. But if you can help us get those horse carriages banned in these cities, that would be greatly appreciated. If you can make a quick 1 minute call, all you have to say is that you are encouraging them to ban horse carriages in their cities. That's all you have to really say. You can ask for a return call if you like, but if you can urge Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson to ban these horse carriages, his number is 214-670-3301. Savannah Mayor Van Johnson, his number is 912-651-6444. And the San Antonio City Council number is 210-207-6000. We have a lot more contact information that we put up on the Chicago Alliance for Animals Facebook page and the Partnership to Ban Horse Carriages Facebook page. So you can always reach out to me for more information and participate in our daily action alerts to reach out to these officials and urge them to do the right thing and end this very dangerous, inhumane excuse for entertainment. We're continuing to work to ban the sale of fur in Chicago. There's an ordinance in city council, and we need Chicagoans to simply call or email their alderperson to support and co-sponsor ordinance 2023-2983. If you don't know who your alderperson is, if you just go to Google, type in who is my alderman or who is my alderperson, put in your address, their name will pop up, and a quick phone call or email just urging them to support or co-sponsor the humane legislation to ban the sale of new fur in Chicago. That would be wonderful. And again, reach out to me with any questions on this. And lastly, before we introduce our first guest, there is humane legislation in Illinois to ban wildlife killing contests, where sick individuals try to kill as many wild animals as possible for prizes. So we need Illinoisans to reach out to their Illinois state representative to urge them to support and co-sponsor House Bill 2900 to ban this obscene excuse for fun. All right. So a lot of humane legislation on the books, or ready to be on the books, I should say. So we could use your help. So now I'll read the bio of today's guest, Michaela Rosas. Rosas, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is a campaign specialist at Mercy for Animals. With 5 years of experience in the animal protection movement, she is dedicated to creating a kinder and more just world for all. And I'll read, Mercy for Animals exists to end one of the greatest causes of suffering on the planet, the exploitation of animals for food. So now I'd like to welcome Michaela.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us today. How's your day going?
It's going great. How's yours going?
Very good. It's actually getting sunny and warm in Chicago, which makes me very happy.
I'm in Portland. We need some of that.
Right? Yeah. So I actually know Nathan, the founder of Mercy for Animals. I've known him for many years. And it's hard to believe that Mercy for Animals has recently celebrated their 25th anniversary.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so great to hear that you know Nathan. Yeah, it's really amazing. We've done a lot of awesome work in the last 25 years, for sure.
Oh, definitely. I was working in Boston on the campaign to ban greyhound racing, and I was looking to move back to Chicago, and I'd reached out to him about possible jobs because my job with the greyhound campaign was ending since we won and we banned the greyhound racing in the state of Massachusetts. And he had suggested I apply for director of investigations. And then he warned me that it would be a very difficult job. And I just told him flat out, like, this is not something I could do. I can't even imagine. And that's a good segue into the topic of what MFA does, because your organization does a lot of undercover work.
Yeah, absolutely. We work on a lot of many different initiatives. Investigations are one of them. We also have our corporate engagement department, which is the work that I do, where we're working with companies to inspire them to eliminate some of the worst suffering in their supply chains. So oftentimes these investigations kind of go hand in hand with that when we look into a company's supply chain and find that there's, you know, suffering going on. So just sharing that with the public and, you know, making sure people know what's going on behind closed doors.
Right. And it's such a hidden, animal agriculture is such a hidden issue. And there's very good reasons for that, because if the public knew what went on behind these slaughterhouse doors, they would be disturbed beyond any imagination. So, well, please tell us about one of Mercy for Animals' most current campaigns targeting Chipotle.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just recently released an investigation looking into a Chipotle supplier. And like I was saying, it exposes, you know, what goes on behind those closed doors. It's specifically for broiler chickens, so chickens being raised for meat for a Chipotle supply chain. And it really just shows the company's failure to reduce animal suffering in their supply chain. Like you kind of mentioned, footage is very intense, even for me watching this, even though a lot of it's the industry standard. It's very brutal footage. It shows birds arriving to the slaughter facility, and they're fragile and they're injured. And then it also shows them experiencing slaughter, live shackle slaughter specifically, which is a really cool form of slaughter. So, yeah, we have it at ChipotleExposed.com if folks were interested in seeing that.
And can you describe a little bit about what live shackle slaughter is? Because I would think the average person might not have ever even heard of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the cruelest forms of slaughter that's still being used in the U.S. It's kind of standard practice. And basically what it means is that these birds are being put really hastily onto shackles. So it's a very fast slaughter line where these birds are still alive and they're conscious, and workers are shoving their feet basically into shackles, which is really stressful for the birds. Oftentimes they're flapping and they're kicking. They may even break their bones in the process of that. And then from there, they're meant to be rendered unconscious by going through a electrified water bath. However, they may miss that bath. They may be too large for the bath, where the bath doesn't render them unconscious. So they will be live to experience getting their throat slit. So it's very cruel and something that we're trying to get companies to move away from.
Right. So getting your throat slit has got to be painful, obviously. Mm-hmm. But so does this electrical bath, right?
Yeah, so it's meant to render them unconscious. So in the case that it does what it's supposed to do, I'm sure it's painful for them, you know, in the very first seconds there, but it's meant for them to be unconscious. But that doesn't always happen. So they may go through it and be completely conscious for the whole thing, feel all of it. And I'm sure it's, you know, excruciatingly painful in that case.
Of course. And tell us about Frankenchicken.
Yeah. So Frankenchickens is a word that we're using for chickens that are raised for meat in the way that they're bred. They're bred to grow really large, really fast, which causes a lot of health issues. They can grow to be so big that their legs may even break out underneath them. It can be challenging for them to breathe. So they're really grown into these like monstrously large animals who are just not meant to be this size. And it just creates a lot of health problems for them.
Right. Yeah. And so many people who have given up red meat, either for health or maybe because they care about cows and that's great, but tend to eat chicken. And a lot of people will still eat chicken, but not, you know, maybe red meat or pork. But chickens are the most abused, one of the most abused animals in the world. And here's a very disturbing statistic from the website Our World in Data. About 900,000 cows are slaughtered every day. For chickens, the daily count is extremely large. 202 million chickens every day. Let me say that again. 202 million chickens are slaughtered every single day. To comprehend the scale, it is better to bring it down to the average minute. 140,000 chickens are slaughtered every minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a massive number of animals. And I believe in the U.S., 9 billion animals a year are killed for food, and 8.9 billion of those are chickens. So they make up for about 95% of the animals that are slaughtered in the U.S.
It's just it's heartbreaking to me that you think of these numbers. And so if you're out there eating chicken, you're responsible for all these chickens being slaughtered. And I don't mean to sound crass or mean, but it's a very cruel industry. These chickens do not ever feel any happiness from the moment they're born until they're finally put out of their suffering. If you think you're eating chicken to save cows and to, you know, that it's a minor thing, it's not. It's part of a very massive epidemic of suffering. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I want to let everyone know that we do take phone calls. The number here at WCPT Progressive Radio is 773-763-9278. So please feel free to call if you have any questions for Michaela or for myself or want to comment about these issues. So like we talked about, I know that MFA does many undercover investigations in slaughterhouses, factory farms, and the like. So what are some of the more notable violations that MFA undercover investigations have found?
Yeah, so most of our recent investigations, they're typically actually finding what's considered industry practice. So in most cases, they're really not even violations, which speaks a lot to what these animals are facing. I think oftentimes when people see these investigations, myself included, I think that like something here has to be wrong. This can't be what's legal. This can't be what these companies are allowed to do. And in most cases, they are. We most often are looking into farms where chickens are being raised for meat, and then sometimes places where chickens are being raised for eggs. But most often for chickens raised for meat. So we are seeing those birds that are extremely fragile, I would say that's what most of our recent footage is. It's birds whose legs have broken out underneath them. You can see them just kind of sitting on the floor, unable to reach food or water. In some cases, there's workers being extremely abusive to these birds because, you know, it's also really traumatic work for these workers. And then, of course, the live shackle slaughter is also one of the cruelest things and something that we see often in our footage.
And that's completely legal, the live slaughter shackle?
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. It is still legal.
Right. And so with the Chipotle campaign, did they make a promise to the public that they were going to stop some of these cruel practices? And then they are basically going back on what they promised.
Yeah. So in 2017, they committed to meeting standards of what's called the Better Chicken Commitment. And a lot of companies have committed to this in the U.S. It's basically a set of standards that includes ending the cruelest forms of breeding and also slaughter practices. So it does address that live shackle slaughter and the Franken chickens that we're talking about. And they committed to meeting that goal by 2024. But they failed to share any progress towards reaching their breed goal, and they've only reported really minimal progress on live shackle slaughter. So we're calling on them to publish a roadmap to fulfill that Better Chicken Commitment and show us how they plan to get there and how they plan to fulfill this commitment, both for, you know, their customers and for animals.
And there have been many companies out there that have made these promises, and it seems like so many of them make these promises just to make the public feel good or to make us crazy animal rights activists lay off, you know, targeting them. And then they go back on their word, and then they say, well, maybe in 5 years we'll implement these practices where we stop using such cruel practices, slaughterhouse or factory farming practices. So what it comes down to is you can't ever really put a lot of faith into these companies. The only way to really stop being part of the suffering is to stop eating animals. And in case you don't know, animals used for food are not protected in any way, shape, or form. There are no protections. And even if there were minor protections, there are no cameras in these slaughterhouses and factory farms. So what we find is extreme abuse of animals regularly. I took this off Mercy for Animals Facebook page today. New Mercy for Animals investigation exposes the heartbreaking conditions pregnant pigs endure at factory farms, the type of cruelty the meat industry is fighting before the U.S. Supreme Court to keep. Our investigator also captured shocking abuse, including pigs and piglets being violently kicked, struck, stabbed with sharp objects, and more. So it's not just chickens. Any animal in the food system is being abused before they're violently killed.
Yeah, absolutely. And our work to move companies to reduce this suffering is just a small part of our work. We also work on plant-based initiatives and many initiatives and efforts to ensure these animals never end up in this system, because just like you said, no matter what is going on, at the end of the day, no animal wants to be slaughtered. And these companies oftentimes do make these commitments and promise that they're treating animals well. Chipotle, for example, really touts itself on animal welfare and is failing to show us, you know, progress on that. So yeah, we absolutely always advocate for a plant-based diet in a vegan world.
Right, of course. So let's talk about factory farming specifically. How do factory farmed animals suffer?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I think a lot of the times when people think of factory farms, or at least maybe a little bit more back in the day, and people are starting to realize more, but I think a lot of the times people think of like these rolling green hills and happy animals, and it's just so far from what it is. Really what factory farming is an industrial operation, and it's intended to maximize profit as much as possible, which is of course at the expense of these animals. Depending on the species and what issue we're specifically talking about, their suffering can look a little bit different. But in general, they endure extreme confinement. Oftentimes, they live in very filthy environments. Many of these animals are mutilated. And then they're also isolated. When farmed animals, you know, just like our cats and dogs at home, are oftentimes really friendly and outgoing and feeling creatures that want to be with others. And they want to be able to walk on green pastures, and they want to be able to interact with others. And in factory farms, that's just not something they're given the ability to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another picture I saw on MFA's social media is a pregnant mother pig in a gestation crate with 8 or so piglets suckling on her. Mm-hmm. And it's the caption was something like, "No, this is no way for a family to live."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw that one this morning, too. Yeah, and it's so true. I had a really wonderful opportunity when I first went vegan to work at a farmed animal sanctuary. And I can't stress enough how much these animals really are like our cats and dogs at home and how much they love their babies. It's really, I had the chance to meet like so many piglets and these mothers that were so protective over their piglets. And they love their piglets. They love their kids the way that we do and the way that our dogs and our cats do. And it's, I think sometimes people don't realize that when they're thinking of farmed animals, but it's so true that they care for their families the way that, you know, other animals do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know why people just might assume that just because they are not a human, that an animal would not care for their offspring, their babies. They do. And there's, you know, tons of documentation proving that. And there's also tons of videos and photos of so-called farm animals playing with puppies or dogs, batting a ball around. So these are animals just like our cats and dogs that deserve the same freedom, the same good life that we give our companion animals. So please consider that next time you might be eating or going to eat meat. These animals suffer so much. So I know this is kind of a downer topic that we have been discussing, but that's part of the point of the show, is to educate the public on all these issues. And but let me switch it up and make it a little happier. So tell us, Michaela, about some of Mercy for Animals' successes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of think in recent years, some specific ones. We've had a ton over the past year or so moving companies to actually show progress on the Better Chicken Commitment, or to commit to showing progress on that. We've been working with some food service providers recently who serve like college campuses to get them to make moves on it. There's quite a few companies. There's also some examples of dog food companies that have started to fully implementing the Better Chicken Commitment. So Campfire Treats and Evermore Pet Food, Natural Grocers is making some progress on the Better Chicken Commitment. There's some great examples of companies that are doing what Chipotle and other companies need to be doing.
That's wonderful. That's great to hear. So I had mentioned that Mercy for Animals had their 25th anniversary just recently, which is, it's just hard for me to believe that MFA has been around for 25 years. It's great. And you guys do great work. So were you able to attend the 25th anniversary gala?
I wasn't, unfortunately. That's one of the things that we do at Mercy for Animals that I'm actually really far outside of being involved in. But I did get to see pictures and videos, and I heard that it was amazing. They had so many amazing like plant-based foods there and lots of celebrities and influencers. So it looked really wonderful, but unfortunately I was not able to attend.
Oh, bummer. My next guest, who is the founder of Kale My Name here in Chicago, made his way to it. So I'm going to talk to him a little bit about it as well.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's a great, having both of you on who are tied to this, good organization, great organization. And do you know any celebrities that happened to be there? I think it was it last week?
Yeah, it was. It was on the 20th. So yeah, just a week ago.
Okay.
I know we had Daniela Monet there. We had Tabitha Brown. We had Joseph Morgan. I'm trying to think of other folks on the top of my head. But yeah, there was definitely quite a few. And it's always so awesome to see celebrities and influencers talking about these topics. And we got some really great videos on our social media of them talking about like what they think about these issues and whether or not they're vegan and who their favorite farmed animals are. So it's always so cool to see these people that you see in television shows that are like, I love animals and here's my favorite animal. And these are the reasons why I care about this.
Yeah, I saw on Facebook some of them mentioning or questioning who their favorite farm animal, what kind of favorite farm animal they have. So that's a great question. I don't even know if I could guess. I think first off, I'd say cow.
Yeah, I hear that. Mine's chickens, which makes sense in the work that I do now.
Sure.
But they're just the cutest. And I think I used to be kind of scared of birds. And once I met chickens, I was like, these are really just cats with feathers. They're so sweet and they love sitting on your lap. They're just the best. But I love them all. It's hard to pick one.
Yeah, definitely. And I would encourage everybody to try to visit a farm animal sanctuary and sit with the chickens or the cows or the pigs or the goats and get to know them as individuals, as consider that animal could be your pet. And maybe that you'll have a change of heart and choose to maybe stop eating animals, because the only, like I mentioned, the only way to stop the suffering is to literally stop eating the animals that suffer so much. So how can listeners help MFA's campaigns help end suffering of animals used for food?
Yeah. So in addition to, of course, going plant-based or vegan, if you were interested in moving towards a more plant-based diet, we have a really amazing guide called How to Eat Veg. You can look up Mercy for Animals, How to Eat Veg. It's a long URL, so I don't want to spell it out. But it has some great food ideas and meal prep and that sort of thing. So you can check that out. If you wanted to get involved in some of our campaigns, there's a couple ways you can do that. So you can actually go to ChipotleExposed.com. And I really suggest checking out that footage, especially if it's not footage that you've seen before. And you can find a petition there that'll urge Chipotle executives to show progress on that commitment and to show a timeline on that commitment. And then lastly, we also have a really wonderful action list called Hen Heroes. So you can sign up for that, and we send weekly updates about campaigns, and then we'll also give a few actions and things that you can do in efforts to move companies on their promises for animals. So it might look like signing a petition one week. The next week, it might be submitting a comment form. But yeah, that our Hen Heroes list, you can just look up Mercy for Animals, Hen Heroes, and that's another great way to get involved.
Okay, that sounds great. And I would also recommend that people contact your legislators, your state and federal legislators, and urge them to fight for these animals and to introduce legislation to ban factory farming practices and inhumane practices, such as the shackle, the way they shackle chickens. And always, when you are at any sort of restaurant or fast food restaurant, even ask for vegan options. The more people who request these vegan options, the more likely these restaurants will offer them. And that's the whole goal, is to start getting the vegan options and more vegan restaurants. So, Michaela, Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all the amazing work you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much. It was wonderful talking to you, and keep up the great work. And I will, I'm definitely going to go to Mercy for Animals website and fill out these petitions and do some of these actions. So,
great.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your weekend, and thanks again.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And just between guests, I quickly want to thank my friends and former bosses, Christine Dorchak and Carrie Teal of Grade 2K USA Worldwide, who are helping support this important show. They work daily to end the cruelty of dog racing across the globe. Learn more about how a small group of people can make a big difference for animals at grade2kusa.org. Ah, well, perfect timing. So now I'd like to welcome Neiman from Kale My Name.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not even going to try your last name.
That's totally fine. Nemanja Golubović, okay? I've said it. That's enough. I'm so happy I'm back here.
I know. And I'm so glad you're here in person.
Thank you. Yes, I almost didn't make it, but last minute changes and, you know, traffic, car and stuff. And I was like, okay, listen, I can make it on time. It's a live show, so it's not like I can come late or something. So I was a little worried, but I'm glad I'm here.
Well, we can always do it remote, but I always like having you in person.
I love to see you, too. Yeah.
Thank you. So you have been busy, very busy.
I've been busy, yeah. Not just cuddling the teddy bears, right? Yeah. Who is this? Tell me. We have for people listening, I found here a teddy bear waiting for me.
Show him on the camera there.
Oh, okay. Camera, yeah. It's here. Who is this cute guy? What's his name?
Paul, do we know who this is?
I have no idea.
We have no idea who this is.
He was the gentleman from the last show asked me if he was mine, and I said no, but I think I need to do a story.
Well, he is now permanent member of you know, your team.
Oh, so I like him.
We'll name him, okay?
What's it say on his foot there?
Over there, I think it doesn't say anything. It's just like a stamp of like,
oh, okay.
It's almost like a dinosaur over here.
Like a polar bear.
Yes, that's definitely polar bear. So we can call him Polo.
Okay. So what's anything new going on at Kale My Name or X Market Chicago?
Ooh, so, Kale My Name has been being pretty steady, and which I really like. Every day I wake up and I just feel so grateful in this season of us mourning so many restaurants. I don't know if you're familiar with like just another out of like tens of them.
I saw two today.
Announcing not just closure, but announcing that they're adding meat to the menu, geez. Which like broke my heart into pieces. I was like texting my friend today and I was like, if I ever go this insane, just kill me. I was like, it just really, really awful. And the statement from the restaurant was disturbing. They just claimed that they're doing that for better climate. And it just kind of hurt my feelings since like I was somebody who frequently visit the restaurant. So it's
can
just,
we say it?
I'm sure it's in LA. It's a Sage.
Oh,
the worst part, it's called the Kind Sage.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Not so kind anymore. And as I said, I've been a frequent visitor. How I get familiar with that, Kale My Name once won an award for the second best brunch in America, and the Sage won a first best brunch in America. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me go to this restaurant to see what it's all about. Like, who has a better brunch than me? Okay.
Right.
And I went there and I totally understood why they won that award.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was such a great vegan restaurant. And watching that statement of them saying how basically adding meat will help the environment, it just broke my heart into pieces. So,
well, it's also not true.
Absolutely. Oh, like,
I mean,
it's just, I would rather be like, hey, we care about money and we want to prioritize money over animals, prioritize money over planet, prioritize money over environment, prioritize money over ethics and morals and everything. What is right, go with a statement like that and I will respect you more than saying,
don't be lying.
Exactly.
There's no way eating animals or serving animals is going to be better for the environment than vegan.
Exactly.
No way.
So in a sea of situations like that, I just wake up every grateful that Kale My Name is doing pretty great. Patio season is starting now in May, which I'm very excited. You know, we also had an award for like best patio in Chicago. So it's opening very soon. The X Market is getting busier and busier. You know that there is a new spot, Veganiano, with an Italian pizza pizza salad from Brian, who runs the Chicago Nadogs. You know him.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. I've started a little show that I still cannot talk about, but what I can say is that I shot the first episodes there. Show it's coming out. You're going to get the name, a rare show. It's going to be very soon, but that's all I can say right now. And while doing the show, I just realized what an amazing space Chicago has. It's like 6 vegan restaurants. We shopped in a grocery store. We ordered mocktails at a bar because, like, I don't drink, but there's adult beverages for whoever wants it, and they're all vegan.
Right.
And wrapping up that episode, me and my co-host, I was saying, what a time to be alive and what a time to be vegan, because I just cannot imagine something like that exists. So lots of fun activities over there, like way too many events that I can even list. So you guys should go on the Plan X Instagram and see about an international cafe where people come and speak different languages, or
karaoke.
Karaoke and a super cool thing. There is like a farmer's market, basically, like every Saturday or Sunday from like time to time. It changes like a... There was a queer self-care day that's going to happen multiple times throughout the summer. So lots of amazing events to be part of. Majority of the events are absolutely free. So if you're looking for something to do fun in Chicago, like, I really think that's a place to go.
Tell us the address again.
It's 804 West Montrose Avenue. Yeah, so it's basically Montrose and Lake.
Yeah.
Which, that's so easy to find.
Right off the lake, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago when... I believe it's Portland had the first all-vegan grocery store. And I remember thinking, Chicago needs an all-vegan grocery store. So you can go in and not look at the labels and not have to worry and not look at all of the dead animals in, you know, in cellophane wrappers. And then we got it. And it's not just a grocery store. It's a bar and a, six restaurants and donuts and coffee and beer and wine. So,
it's so amazing. But listen, one thing about Neiman still be reading labels, okay? Like, even if it's fully a vegan store, it just got to know what's inside. But it's a lot of pretty good, clean items over there, which makes me really happy. So I agree with you. Like, it's just from being amazed that there will be like a fully vegan grocery store. Now it's so much more than that. So, I really
hope. Some of the options you just can't find in, you know, some stores have great vegan options, which I, you know, obviously love and I appreciate. But some of the, like the vegan cream cheeses that the X Market has are just outstanding. And so it's worth checking out. Some things could be a little pricey, but you know, some things are worth it every now and then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, responsibly, don't go all six, which people often do, because it's such an experience. So people go and buy from all six restaurants. So that's why, like, it adds up. But, you know, if you go more often, then you can try everything. I recently did a collaboration video with PETA, which is one of the organizations that made me go vegan in original place, the PETA and Mercy for Animals. So I just did a collaboration with PETA, and the campaign was everything you can eat, I can eat vegan. And they suggested that I do video like that. And I was like, there's no better place for me to shoot video like that than X Market, because I cannot think of a food that it's not available there. Like, honestly, if you like anything that you can think of, like, and the burgers and the wings and tacos, tacos, tamales, sushis, pizzas, pastas, salads, Italian beef, the hot dogs, the donuts, I cannot
think. Oh, that was impressive.
I really cannot think of food that you say, like, oh, well, X Market doesn't have it. Like, it's literally everything, it's there. And it was so amazing space. You should check out that video. Everybody listening to this, go to my Instagram, Kel My Name, or PETA's Instagram. We collaborated video. And there is a video of me saying, everything you can eat, I can eat vegan. And then I showcase all the food.
Yeah.
It's so fun and just make people think, like, why am I not vegan?
Yeah. And you know, and why am I still participating in such cruelty? That's the thing.
No excuses.
Yeah. It's, I understand you like it, but please, please make the effort.
Exactly. And it's not even anymore to sacrifice anything. That's the best part of being vegan in 2024. You don't have to sacrifice. Like, you can just win. Like, you win based on your health. You win on the environment, especially people having kids. Like, I will never understand humans with a small kids just being so careless about the planet. And a second thing, mothers with babies, feeding children dairy. I'm so concerned about that because everybody can see how connected cows are to their children. I believe more than any other animals. Like, I know that there's animal instinct to love their child in many animals, but I don't see bigger connection than in between the cow and her calf. Mm-hmm. And like the way that that mom loves her child, that's the same way the cow loves her calf. Yep. So having a children and not making that connection, it's just absolutely wild to me. So like, I really encourage every mother to think of how would they feel if someone would take away their child
right after they have their baby.
Absolutely.
And when I see, when I watch videos or see babies and mothers, I get so sad sometimes because I always think about the animals that don't get the love. Like when you see a mother holding their baby and they're so in love with this. And then I always, it's horrible that I have this negative Nancy part, but it's just because I know, because I'm aware.
Absolutely. And it's so common. Like, there's way too many videos of a cow running after their calf once taken away. So that just itself, it should be enough. And my question is, how come it's not?
Yeah. And then you take into account that the only thing that milk does for your body is,
oh, it's poisoning.
Makes you fat.
It's awful.
Cow milk is meant for calves.
Absolutely.
To grow big. And so when humans drink that milk, the only, it is fattening. So
it's full of hormones and everything. Yeah. And then a cow is being stressed out because they just took away her calf. So everything, it's in the hormones, and it's just really not good for humans. No wonder we all sick.
And also, a lot of people are lacto intolerant.
We all are. Not a lot. We all are. It's just our body sometimes
get used to it.
And it's not communicated in us with words, but people have headache and they don't realize, oh my God, like I have so many people who are like drinking milk in their coffee and be like, why am I having headache? And I was like, well, no wonder, because you are not a baby cow. You're taking a product that it was never meant for you. And then you're not listening to your body. And I think everyone is lactose intolerant. It just, some people will have a rush, will have immediately, need to vomit and things like that. But on some people, it's not going to express so like visibly, but will slowly be killing them, such as was like, why am I having headaches, or like, why my energy is low, or like, oh my God, I'm not feeling so good today. Those are your answers. Cut it for a month and then come back and talk to me.
Right.
Like, I'm almost certain, because I've seen it so many times. I told you before, like, literally brought to life some of my family members. I know myself. I believe that living with a headache, it's just a common thing. I was like, oh, yeah, everybody gets a headache. No, I now get headache once in a 6 month.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Before, I used to live with it because I was thinking like, oh, this is just something the humans deal with every day. It's not true. It was dairy. I really think that dairy is worse than a meat. That like anything, like I think it's the most poisonous things on the planet. And again, to mention those 12,000 doctors who signed a petition to ask basically the United States and like FDA to put on a cheese a warning label that dairy causes breast cancer in women. And people are just playing blind and stupid. And I want to hear about it. It was on the TV, but nobody wants to talk about it. They're like, oh, it's not true. Like, well, if that is not, then what it is?
Right.
It's not broccoli for sure. I can guarantee you that.
Well, let me read this since we're on the topic. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to talk about fun stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? How did you and I get to this conversation? I'm wondering.
You're supposed to be the fun topic.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So I want to read this quick since we're just talking about this. This is from NBC News from, I think, 2 days ago. The Food and Drug Administration said Thursday that traces of the bird flu virus has been found in 1 in 5 samples of pasteurized milk. And in an article yesterday in NPR, on Friday, Colorado became the latest state to detect the bird flu virus spreading in dairy cattle. It follows revelations earlier in the week that viral fragments are turning up in retail milk. Still, scientists don't view this as an immediate threat to human health. What?
Boom. Boom.
Does nobody remember what COVID, what happened?
Listen, till you're dying, you don't want to listen. That's the thing. Till you're on like a deathbed, like then you will be like, oh man, maybe I should change.
This is an immediate and dangerous threat. This bird flu, and now it's literally in 1 in 5 samples of milk.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put all these animals in extreme confinement all over the world. And we talked about the numbers, how many animals are being killed and slaughtered every single day. This is why we have COVID. This is why we have viruses that jump from animals mm-hmm. to humans, and why we had for 2 years to wear masks and avoid other people. It's not because viruses just naturally appear. It's we're creating them with big agriculture.
No virus started with tomato.
Nope. So, okay. On to Kale, my name's 4-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Let's do the fun stuff. Yes. As I said, just celebrated 4 years again. Just very grateful to just still be around. Honestly, it feels like accomplishment in a world that we're in right now. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a party. People.
I was out of town, or I would have been there. I saw that you were having a big celebration, and I wanted to be there.
It's just like people made it big. Like for me, it was just like being there and people showing up. That's just made me so happy, because I was talking to my friend about it. I said, okay, I understand when we get booked for Mother's Day, or can we be booked on 4th of July and things like that. That's people go out for themselves, right? Because that's their holiday they're celebrating. But when we get booked on our birthday, that's people going out of their way to be there, not for themselves, but for me, for Kale, my name. Mm-hmm. And that's that special connection and unbreakable bond that almost brought me to tears that day when I've seen how many people showed up on a random Wednesday just because it's our birthday, and being very intentional of going to Kale, my name to that day. I was like, it looks like I have nothing to worry about, because it's, you know, just beautiful community that I have, and I'm so grateful.
I'm sorry. I love you holding the bear.
I know. It brings me comfort. I like it a lot. So, see, animal in any shape or form, it's just
nobody,
you know,
knows where that bear came from. Maybe
it's Polo. It's now our forever friend. Yes,
polar bear. And then you had 2 red carpet events in Los Angeles.
I did.
And the pictures were awesome. Sorry, I didn't.
Thank you. Pictures, videos, everything. The red carpets are awesome. They're a little new to me, but a preview to my future life. Okay, it's not going to be the last red carpets I go on. The first one was for the premiere of the movie Cryspiracy, which is strictly connected to the veganism, and I love just talking about it. It's a movie that everybody has to see. A lot of people are very religious, and if they are, this is a movie for them. It doesn't speak any, but the name, it's, people think it's controversial. It's going to be like, oh, there's no God. No, it's completely opposite. It just shows how much of a God is love, how much of a God it's compassion. And the main question of the movie is, how would Jesus kill an animal? Oh. He wouldn't.
Wow, I've heard of Cryspiracy. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to see it, but
you
just said that, the main topic is, how would Jesus kill an animal? How would he slaughter an animal?
Yes, and it goes to 1.5 hours to come to the point that we just realized that Jesus would never.
Yeah. Never do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. It was about love and compassion.
What religion.
Exactly. What? Yeah. They go into other religions too and say, it's like, oh, is by your religion like any spiritual way to kill an animal? And like none of these people who are like on a, you know, positions of their religions that they represent, they don't have an answer to that. They or don't want to talk, or they get confused, or they end up admitting that it would never be. There's a lot of part in the movie about Buddhism, and like, you know, their religion is based on like to never kill.
So
a lot of them admit how that they are hypocrites, basically. They said like, oh, I could never. It was like, I would starve to death, but I would not kill a rabbit. And then they go, oh, but do you eat meat? He goes like, oh, yeah, because like, somebody else killed it for me. So, and he says, like, I understand how hypocritical this is. So I really recommend everybody who loves God to watch the movie and just realize that it's always has been about love. God was never about a murder. God was never about the screams and pains and blood. And if God created animals to eat, they would not feel pain. As God created apple and tomato for us to eat, and they do not feel pain. God did not create animals for us to eat, but to be on earth with us in peace, So the movie sends such a beautiful message. I really recommend you and everybody listening to this to look it up.
I was supposed to see it one day, and I just I had other plans, and I couldn't.
You should have told me. I had extra tickets.
I will definitely see it. But yeah, that just makes so much sense. Is, you know, that whole question, what would Jesus do? Well, he wouldn't be slaughtering animals by the billions.
People had tattoos, what would Jesus do, and things like that. So it's like a whole thing of the movie. So.
Right. And then you're also at the big MFA 25th anniversary gala.
Yes, I'm so glad you had a guest from Mercy from Animals today. So I'm saying hi to her if she's still around. You surely know how to throw a party. It was absolutely amazing. It was honestly a dream come true for me to be there because, as I already mentioned, like organizations like Mercy for Animals and PETA and organizations like that are the reasons I went vegan in the first place, seeing videos like that and then seeing that gala and watching it for a year happening and me imagining one day I'm going to be there because there's so many like-minded people at the same place. And it was just really beautiful. You know, everybody dresses up in their vegan outfits, shows up for a wonderful hakaus. That night raised over $2 million for the animals, which, and you know, I'm so happy I was part of it and I contributed, you know, what I could.
Sure.
So it just made me feel so great to be there. And great show, great night. And as I said, full of wonderful messages that it be sent, wonderful speakers, presenters, and just overall an experience that as vegans, we don't experience often because it's not so widely spread. And just imagine, like, you are in this beautiful venue with like 1,500 other like-minded people who just love animals. So it was beautiful to be there.
And the pictures that you posted with Tabitha Brown were wonderful.
Yes. So I went actually with her. I was a guest at her table. She invited me to be part of it. That's how I ended up going, actually. Yeah. She was honored with the Love and Light Award for that night.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Then she had her table of family and friends, and she invited me. And I'm extremely grateful for that because, as I said, like, I don't think otherwise I would get to experience it yet. I know I'm going to be invited at some point, but this time I was invited by Tabitha, which was absolutely beautiful. When I was saying to my parents, I was like, going to, there's only one thing better than going to Gala Mercy for Animals. It's going to Gala Mercy for Animals with Tabitha. So it was beautiful.
Yeah. I went years ago to the Genesis Awards, which I'm not sure if they're doing anymore. I haven't heard anything about those for a while, but they basically give awards to media in animal rights. And I had worked for a group back in the day that was part of a bullfighting documentary that won the Brigitte Bardot Award, the International Brigitte Bardot Award. And it was similar, like we all dressed up like we were going to Oscars, but they were the Oscars for the animal rights movement. So,
yeah.
And we're already starting to run out of time.
That, yes.
Yeah. So, we have maybe a minute for you to talk about. You want to talk about The Blocks?
Yes. So The Blocks, it's a show I've been already part of. The Blocks, it's the greatest show on entrepreneurship. I was invited as a judge and mentor. It is a competition. 70, 80 entrepreneurs come and they just present their businesses. They play games. We crown the best of the night and then best of the week and just the best Bloxer of. So tomorrow, another season is premiering. It's going to be on The Blocks app. It also goes on Amazon Prime. It's to be paid, though. But it's absolutely amazing that it's on Amazon Prime. And it's just really a good show for people who are interested in entrepreneurship. It's not strictly about veganism, but I make my role about that there. And I, of course, made sure to, you know, be an activist over there and educate entrepreneurs of how they can be making money with love and compassion without hurting any living being. And I think that's a key for business to thrive. Don't make business or money on unhappiness on any other creature. As I said, I was already on a season previously that it's available now to watch. Tomorrow it's premiering another season I'm part of, and I'm going to shoot the one more during the summer. So it is really great show, and I invite everybody who is into entrepreneurship. If you're not an entrepreneur, it's really not fun that to watch because it has a lot of educational element. It's teaching you about the finance, the fundraisings, and things like that. So,
Sorry to cut you off. you've always got your hand in a lot of things, and I appreciate it because I know you're always sharing the message of compassion. So thank you for coming. Thank you, Michaela. And I'll just end today with this quote from one of my heroes. For me, to go vegan was just a decision, and I haven't been preachy about it. But now we've seen more of the effects of how eating animals has brought us to our knees as a species. I think it's time to re-examine our world in a way that doesn't abuse other species. That's by Ian May of the band Queen. And he's exactly right. What I said about viruses and COVID is coming from factory farming and big agriculture. So please think about that. Please make the humane decision to choose not to eat animals. So this is Jody Whitaker of the Chicago Alliance for Animals. Thank you for listening today, and please reach out with any questions.